University of Sydney. Louise, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, very well, thanks. Pleasure to get you back on the program again.
Yeah, thanks very much for the invitation again.
Now, looking at the results we've seen in Venezuela, some have even come out as far as saying Venezuela is now a dictatorship. What do you make of those kind of claims?
Well, I think it is really a mistake to use that type of category to speak about the type of government in the country. There is certainly a number of institutional problems in the country, but by calling the government a dictatorship, people, I think, are establishing obstacles to the most necessary dialogue that needs to take place within the country. And in addition to that, and even considering that there are certain aspects of the electoral process that need to be discussed, the elections are really auditable, and the results that we saw on Sunday are really reliable in terms of electoral results. That is, the number of votes that come up reflect the results of those who did actually go to vote that day.
Yes, well, 68% of the vote went to Maduro, as I said there, but that was a very, very small percentage of actual voters participating in the election.
You're right, and this is actually demonstrating that the legitimacy of the government is weakened, and that in general the country continues to go through a difficult political moment. The total participation was below 50%, it was actually 46%, and this is an incredibly big drop in terms of participation from the last presidential election in 2013, when precisely Maduro was elected. By then, basically 80% of the electorate went to cast a vote, and on this occasion, partly, and certainly that is something as well that needs to be taken into consideration, partly because a part of the opposition decided that there weren't conditions for them to participate and boycotted the election. So that shows, of course, on the one hand, the results that the actual candidate of part of the opposition has obtained, only 20%, but as well it shows that there is a large part of the electorate that is not very happy with the conditions in the country.
Well, of course, as you mentioned there, the opposition did boycott this election following Maduro actually banning members of the opposition, two of the most popular opposition leaders, from actually competing in this race.
Yes, yes, that is something that needs to be analyzed under the conditions of the country. But let's remember that it wasn't a presidential decision, so to speak, but what appears to be a decision of the judiciary. The National Electoral Council had established a number of requirements for candidates and parties to participate in elections, and some parties hadn't been willing to meet them. They considered actually that the conditions weren't very fair, but didn't meet them, and they were disqualified for participating in the elections.
Just in a sort of contextual way, I mean, it's good to remember that Maduro is actually following on from Hugo Chavez, and regardless of, I think, of what a lot of people know about Venezuelan politics or Latin American politics, Hugo Chavez, huge figure, really, even on the global stage, you know, a lot of people sort of recognize Chavez's name. Following on from such a huge political figure, how is Maduro actually filling those shoes? How is he actually doing in terms of following up on Chavez's legacy?
Well, as you're describing, this is actually a very difficult situation for someone who is presented as the successor of a political figure such as Chavez, who, no matter what people thought of his politics, really was recognized as a charismatic and incredibly strong leader internationally as well. Well, the position of Maduro certainly has been affected by that sort of a legacy. Basically, people try to compare with him. But in general, what has happened to his government, and that is what really concerns most Venezuelans living in the country, is that really hasn't been successful in managing what is an economic crisis that, let's remember, and this is as well important to consider, is not directly caused initially by, let's say, his own government decisions. What Maduro found when getting into government was still a country heavily dependent on oil rents. It's a rentier country, And that's not a novelty, but has not been really overcome, neither by Chavez nor by himself. And then there was a big crisis in terms of revenue that the government was getting through oil, through the drop in prices, partly as a result of the global financial crisis and the readjustment that occurred at an international level. So that is what he had to face, you know, structural conditions that weren't of his making. And if you are basically his lack of charisma in the view of some people, he's had certainly very difficult times. Still, part of the Chavista, if you want a rank and file, consider that he needs to be taken, you know, for what he has tried to do in these difficult conditions that include as well a very, very heavy international pressure.
Just as a final point, those very difficult conditions that you mentioned there, and as you say, the Venezuelan economy very much dependent on the sort of oil and sales of oil and all that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Moving forward, we've now seen this election happen. We've seen the U.S. and Venezuela sort of have a bit of a spat. They've expelled each other's diplomats from relative countries. And the U.S. has increased sanctions on Venezuela. Now, this is obviously going to hit the Venezuelan economy once more. Going forward, what do you think is the actual best path for Venezuela now that they are operating not only with those difficulties you mentioned there, but also further sanctions and further condemnation?
Well, I think it is a very difficult situation, really. I cannot really foresee exactly what may be happening in the medium term, because economically, what may happen does not directly depend on governmental decisions. It may have to do with international prices of resources such as oil and even mining products such as gold and diamond that are being now extracted as well in important parts of the country. But other than that, I think it's very, very strong a mistake, you know, to impose this type of sanctions for political reasons when those who are going to suffer the consequences are really particularly the poor people in the country. The economic situation in Venezuela is really critical. It is certainly very, very difficult a time for people living there who have difficulty to access in a variety of products, but certainly, you know, food and medicines. And those who are, let's say, on the more vulnerable parts of society will be the primary victims of this type of sanctions that, for instance, the United States is imposing now on Venezuelan assets that actually prevent the government from receiving or renegotiating its international debt or receiving new financing for projects. So, I mean, and regardless of what people think of the politics of the government, this is a big, I think, mistake, because those who are going to carry the burden of the sanctions are really the poorer people of Venezuela, and certainly not government functionaries.
Unfortunately, that often seems to be the way. Luis, thank you very much. Really appreciate you joining us this morning and chatting with us about this one.
Yeah, thanks for your call.